Well, Happy New Year, 2020. I can't believe it. It's just amazing. I thought the Lord would come before I turned 40 at the year 2000. So here we are, and I'm over 16 years old and facing another year. Who knows what lies ahead? You know, you look ahead and you think, man, another year. This past year is gone. We have another year ahead of us. Who knows what lies before us? It's an election year, so, man, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go with that. And then you look at the stock market, you look at gas prices. I mean, you know, before Christmas it was, you know, $2.35, $2.41, whatever. Day after Christmas, $2.75. I mean, it's like playing the stock market, isn't it? You just never know. Should I buy now or should I sell or whatever? And so there's uncertainty as we look into the new year. We don't know what's going to happen. And then you add to all of that your personal matters. We're all dealing with life. We face uncertainties in our lives, don't we? I think back a little over 20 years ago when I was asked to come and candidate here at FBC as a pastor, you know, I don't know, I never heard of Troy, Ohio before, and we had done some interviewing and investigating, and we thought, you know what, we're going to candidate. So we didn't tell the kids what we were doing until we got in the car. They knew we were going on a trip, but we didn't tell the kids what we were doing, and so we were driving around, heading out of Fort Wayne, heading this way. And we said, hey guys, we just want to tell you that we're considering Daddy becoming a pastor at a different church, and that means we're going to have to move. Well, I predicted it. I said our daughter would cry for about 2 minutes, and then she would be like, you know, if that's what God wants us to do, that's what we're going to have to do. And that's almost exactly what happened. But I also predicted that my son would, I mean, he would burst into tears, that the world was coming to an end, and that life would never be the same again. Our daughter was almost 13, our son Chad was 10. And sure, and I said, but after about 10 minutes, it'll be the greatest adventure of all. Well, 10 minutes went by, we're driving down the road, 20 minutes went by, he's still crying. We're trying to console him. 30 minutes go by. It's like, I started thinking, oh my goodness, I am making a big mistake. I mean, I am like, what am I doing to my child? I mean, he is tore up. He will never be the same. He will be destroyed for life. And I just, all this going through my mind, and I thought, man, what is, 30 minutes go by, he is still crying. This is, the world is coming to an end. And I'm thinking, okay, hey, one of the kind of interesting things about moving down there is we're going to live in a parsonage. He's like, a parsonage? What in the world is a parsonage? I mean, his world crumbled even further. I'm like, oh my goodness. I said, well, the neat thing about a parsonage is that we live right across the parking lot from the church, and we're going to have a gymnasium. We can go over there and we can shoot baskets and we can play in the gym. And he's like, oh, I don't know, you know, he just didn't. And I was like, oh man, what in the world am I going to do? And I said, hey, I'll tell you what, another neat thing about living in the parsonage is that they mow the lawn for us. They mow the lawn, yahoo! And it was the greatest thing that ever happened in his life. But I just wasn't sure whether I'd done the right thing until that moment. Then I realized God was in it. You have experiences of uncertainty, don't you? I mean, you know, whether it's what's going to happen in the new year, or should I move or should I stay? Should I buy this house or that house? Should I buy a car? Should I not? What's going to happen with our family in any given situation? You have those kinds of uncertainties, don't you? And so as we face the uncertainties of a new year, I want to give you some encouragement. I want to give you hope. The point is that life is uncertain, and there are uncertainties in life. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. You know, that, not so much this morning because it's nice and warm, but in a week or so, You're going to get up one morning and you're going to go out and you're going to scrape ice off the car windshield. And you're going to see your breath. And it's going to be there for just a little while and then it's gone. And that's what James 4:14 says. That's what life is like. It just appears for a period of time and then it's gone. Well, as we look to the new year, I think Joshua can help. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever is written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." So we can learn, even though Joshua, the book of Joshua, was written many, 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 many years ago, we can still learn from what's going on in the book of Joshua. And I want to emphasize that there's hope in the middle of all of this. And in Joshua chapter 1, we find Joshua and the nation of Israel on the east side of the Jordan River. They're on the brink of entering the long-awaited promised land. And they were at this juncture once before, right? 38 years prior to this, they were facing Kadesh Barnea, and they sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land to see what it was going to be like. They're supposed to enter into the land. That's not a bad idea to do some reconnaissance, right? So they send these spies into the land, 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, "Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. We can't go in there. We'll be done for." Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, wait a minute. Yeah, there are giants in the land, but man, it's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And with God's help, we can conquer that land." And the people voted and they said, "We're not going to go in there. No way." And God said, "Okay. Well, because you did not believe, everyone 20 years and older are going to die in the wilderness. Going to wander for a total of 40 years in the wilderness, 38 more years." Because they had already wandered 2 years to get up to Kadesh Barnea. So they were at this point 38 years prior to this. And fear had gripped the nation as they faced the unknown. Fear was the result of their unbelief. So they're on the brink of this Jordan River. Things are different. The nation is purged. Everybody 20 years and older had died because of their lack of belief and judgment from God. They were younger, more energetic. The oldest besides Joshua and Caleb would have been 59 years old, or depending on how you figure, maybe even just 57 years old. Just young, you know. That was supposed to be kind of funny. They faced the same challenge, entering into the promised land. The same challenge lie before them. And with this, we enter chapter 1. And God is giving one great directive to Israel. One great directive. And this is the directive I want to give to you here today. So here's our take-home thought this morning, and that is, be strong and courageous. As you face the uncertainties of life, whether it's coming into a new year, 2020, or whether it's just the everyday uncertainties of this life. You wake up, we don't know what a day might bring forth. Right? We don't know what's going to happen today. Think of Amanda just yesterday. She didn't know she was going to get injure her finger. You know, just something like that. We just don't know what. We face the uncertainties of life. If we're not careful, it could just debilitate us. And there are some people like that, right? They just get cloistered up. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. So they just stay home. They don't want to get out. Or they don't want to face whatever it is that they might face for that particular day. Or in a particular situation. And God says, "Oh, no. You might be facing some uncertainties, but be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." That's a battle cry for the believer. It's been said that Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. Because we don't know what's going to happen. And if you're here today and you're faint-hearted, I want you to know that there's hope. First of all, there's hope in salvation. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about who is Jesus. We've been talking about characters of Christmas. We talked about Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the one who can save you, who will save you if you but believe. And He came to die. He came to die and rose again to provide salvation if you would believe that He did that for you. And guess what? The choir sang about it. He's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. But these, they're all faith statements. And so as if you're here today and you've never believed that Jesus is Savior, we appeal to you to, because you can't be strong and courageous without salvation through Jesus Christ. All right? You can't face the uncertainties of life the way that God wants you to without faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. But as believers, and God here is talking to you as a believer, to have faith, and in that faith be strong and courageous. It's a command. It's in the imperative. It would be like the commanding officer in the Marines saying, I want you guys to take that hill. I want you to take that hill. Here we go. You know, those under his command don't go, oh, no, wait a minute, officer. Let's talk about this. Let's negotiate a little bit, all right? You guys have been in the military. How would that go over with your commanding officer? Or worse yet, why? Really? No, it's in the imperative. You do what you're commanded to do. And here the command is, be strong and courageous. So when God says, be strong and courageous, it calls for enablement. And God then enables you to face that, whatever you face, with courage and with strength. So I want to encourage you this morning with some motivating factors that kind of bolster that. It's not just work up this strength and work up this courage. There are some principles behind this that help you out of this chapter here. These principles provide strength and courage as you face, the year 2020 and the uncertainties of life, whatever they may be. Look at verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is now dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Here's the first motivating factor that gives undergird strength and courage, and that is believe that God is with you. Believe that God is with you. Your courage is based upon the presence of God. You are strong in the strength of someone else. You think of Philippians 4:13. I can do what? Through who? Through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens me. I can do, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. It's a faith statement. You can be strong and courageous in the face of uncertainty on the basis of the fact that God is with you. You see, the presence of God precludes the admonition to be strong and courageous. The fact that God is there, knowing that God is there, gives you strength. In other words, you could not truly be strong and courageous without knowing of and believing in the presence of God. When you lose strength and courage, it is in part because you have lost sight of the fact that God is with you. And it's not a courage that is baseless or needs to be worked up. This is a point of faith. It's trust. Look at verse 5 there. Just as I was with Moses. That's something that was not vague. Joshua was Moses' kind of right-hand man. He was a kind of a mentee. And he saw that God was with Moses. There were facts that backed that statement up. just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Look at verse 9. God is speaking to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For or because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Look at verse 11. The presence of God is implied here in verse 11. This is Joshua then speaking to the people. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Verse 17. The people then say this to Joshua. Look at verse 17. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. God was telling Joshua, and now he's telling you and me, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It's the same God. He's the same God who was with Moses. This is the God that is with you now and is with you in any, as you face any uncertainty in the days ahead. The enemy, your enemy, cannot claim that fact. Joshua's enemies could claim that. Your enemies can't claim that. God is with you, not with them. Because God is with you, you can be strong and courageous when you face life's uncertainties. Being weak and fearful, whining and moaning and complaining, I don't deserve this, or I can't do this. This is just too much. That's not what God wants. He wants you to be strong and courageous. When our son, again, Chad, was just a little guy, loud noises scared him. It's very interesting because he ended up being trained on the second loudest weapon in the military. And but anyway, obviously wore ear protection. But when he was a child, he hated loud noises. I mean, we'd go see fireworks or something like that, and he'd just, and he'd go, Daddy'll be all white. Daddy'll be all white. And I said, yes, Chad, it'll be all right. Daddy is with you. I'd be holding him. Daddy is with you. Okay, it'll be all right. Joshua and the people of God could be courageous, could be strong based on believing the promises of God, the promise that God was with them. And so can you, as you face any of life's uncertainties. Aren't you glad that it's not based upon your own strength? God doesn't say, go bench press 400 pounds. Really? You know? Oh, yeah, we just got to work up strength. It's not like, bless their hearts, the guys on the team last night, you know, we could spend the rest of the time, you know, drowning our sorrows in that game last night. But anyway, you know, you look at the beginning of the game and they're like, yeah, yeah, they're just trying to work up, you know, just, yeah, here we go, you know, we're gonna take it down. That's not what God's asking here. You know, just to kind of work up this strength and this faith that it can happen. That's not what God's talking. You see, strength and courage come by believing that God is present based upon the fact that He said so. He said in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. You think about it. In essence, God had already given them the land. Look at verse 4. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. How could they have that kind of faith to go in and face all of these enemies who were warriors and giants? How could they possibly face it? They weren't trained in war. God was with them. They were strong in the strength of someone else. God was with them. How could they be strong and courageous? God was with them. All they had to do is go in and fight the battle. They had an assured victory. All they had to do is claim the victory and they would inherit the land. And as a believer, you already, according to Ephesians 1, verse 3, you already have every spiritual blessing. As a believer, as you look ahead, you need to understand that God has given you every spiritual blessing. Isn't that awesome? All you have to do is claim it. And there's so many of us, we look ahead and we start overthinking certain things and think, oh man, what if or what's going to happen? And we start to lose heart. And you got to realize, wait a minute, God's got this. Or as we say, God's got your back. And actually, He's out in front of you. Think about that. You have every spiritual blessing, one of which is that He is with you. So how does this work out practically, though? This is an essential truth when you face uncertainty. It's a motivating factor. It keeps you going. And here's what I encourage you to do. Ask yourself, am I trusting in the fact that God is with me as I face, now fill in your blank, am I believing that God is with me as I face this day? Or as I face this person, or this battle, or this test, or this financial instability, it's like, man, I don't know what's going to happen. We just don't seem to have enough money to keep this going. What are we going to do? God is with you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God is with you as you face the uncertainties? Maybe problems in your marriage, or problems with some kids, problems with a boss, problems at work. Do you really believe that God is with you as you face that? Whatever it is, fill in your blank. Or as you face a surgery, as you face an illness, do you believe that God is with you as you face that? And to think that, you know what, this can be a new challenge. As I face that uncertainty, this can be an opportunity to be a testimony to the fact that God is with me. There may be someone who say, I don't know how you're doing it. Well, one of the ways I'm doing it is because I believe God is with me. I believe that He goes before me and He's behind me and He's with me through this, whatever it is. Could you imagine the difference that is from the way the world faces the uncertainties of life? You'd be a testimony. The fact that God is with me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what I'm going to do. But you know what? God's with me. I don't know how we're going to win that battle. I don't know how we're going to get rid of the Hittites and all those people in there. I almost said all the tights. how are we going to get rid of all these? I don't know. But you know what? I do know God's with me. Whatever it is you're facing, to believe that God is with you. And if you believe that God is with you, and He is, you can be strong and courageous. I think a couple of passages. You're welcome to turn there. 1 John 4:4. That would be a great one to highlight in your Bible if you don't already have it highlighted. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. I'm going to look at another one in 1 John as well, so out of chapter 5. But 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That would be kind of like what God was telling Joshua as they faced the uncertainties of the thems. You know? And here in 1 John 4:4, you are from God and you have overcome them. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Look at chapter 5, verse 4. verses 4 and 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Fear and worry stems from forgetting that God is with you. This is so very important. This is an issue of faith where you don't kind of work up and try to conjure up this faith and belief that God is with you. It's believing what God said. God said He is with you. Believe that. Faith comes back to believing the tenets of what God has said in His Word and saying, do I believe that? And I'm going to get to this in just a moment, but am I going to live in light of this truth by faith? But this is not passive, because there's a second motivating factor here of strength and courage as you face uncertainties. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be strong. Oh, excuse me. Back to Joshua chapter 1. All right. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, the Bible, His Word, shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you're not going to let it get away from you. You're going to hold it close. You're going to keep it with you. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here's the second motivating factor, and that is to meditate upon God's Word continually. You believe He's with you. He is with you. But understanding and knowing that, you meditate on the truths of the Scriptures continually. That's a good challenge for 2020. You can be strong and courageous in light of meditating on His Word continually. It's not passive. You see, you can't read a playbook and say that you're a football player if you don't play the game. Right? You can't be a musician. We have wonderful musicians here. They lead us and draw us before the throne of God in worship. They don't just show up here and just read the music. You can't say you're a musician if you just read the score. You have to then play the music, right? And you can't say that you're a Christian if you say you read and know the Bible, but don't do what it says. You see, meditation is the means to the end of doing what the Bible says. This is an essential part of putting into practice the Word of God. It's an essential part of this whole matter of being strong and courageous, because you're going to take that, you're going to think about that in your particular life situation. Whatever that uncertainty is. How in this situation can I be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with me? You're meditating upon that. Now, it's not transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation is where you empty your mind. You know, it's just like, whoo. No, this is filling your mind with the thoughts of God. Scriptural meditation is literally filling your mind with the thoughts of God. The word meditation literally means muttering with the mouth. It's like figuring out a math problem. Let's see. 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4 times 24. Okay, and then I got to divide that by... And you know, some of you guys, I don't know how you do it, you have these long math equations, you know. And no wonder you talk to yourself. You know? It's just like, well, gotta figure this thing out. That's what meditation is. You're taking these truths from the Word of God and you're thinking, and I would just encourage you, even on the, if you look at the digging deeper, You think about the promises of God. This is just a great practice coming into a new year and just go through the Scriptures and think about all of the promises of God and then think, okay, how can I live in light of what God has said? What difference do these promises make in my life as I face the uncertainties of 2020? What difference does this make in my life as I face the uncertainty of my relationship, my work situation, the sale of my house, whether I ought to get a new car or not? What difference does it make? Meditate upon the truths, the promises of His Word continually to see what God has to say about that particular life situation. And you actively think through how you can apply that truth or that passage of Scripture to that particular life situation. And think through how you can put it into practice in your life. It might be asking, okay, how can I be joyful in the midst of this trial? God says, count it all joy, pure joy when you face all kinds of trials. And you think, man, this is really tough. How can I do this? And you think through the principles that would apply to help you face that trial, that uncertainty, with joy. How can I conquer this habit? You know, I've got this, man, this habit that just keeps dogging me, and I know it doesn't please God. How can I overcome? And you start thinking on passages like 1 Corinthians 10:13 and Matthew chapter 5, and you're thinking through Ephesians 4:22-24. You're thinking through biblical principles on how to overcome whatever sinful habit you may have. How can I be God's kind of husband? How can I be God's kind of wife or parent or worker or even boss? How can I do this? How can I better please God in this life situation? God, I know Your Word speaks to this. Help me find the truths and principles in Your Word that are going to help me as I face this. And you think upon it. You meditate upon it. That's what it's talking about here. It's like, it's not just, oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Isn't there an 800 number I can call and get some help? And, you know, no, it's going to the Word of God and saying, God, what do You have for me as I face my blank. That's what meditation is about. Another motivating factor to get of strength and courage is found in verses 8 and 9. We read it in part. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This takes meditation a step further. You've probably guessed it. I've already alluded to it. But you not only believe that God is with you, and you don't not only meditate upon the Word continually, you obey God and then experience His blessing. You obey God and experience His blessing. There's blessing in the doing. If you will face uncertainty with strength and courage, then you will be successful, prosperous and successful. But what is success? It would be interesting. It's just Pastor Nate, what do you think success is? Heidi, what do you think success is? Gloria, what do you think success is? Sandra, we go around here. What do you think success is? It would be interesting to see what we would come up with. And some of you would probably say the same kinds of things. But what is true success? Success in God's eyes is trusting and obeying. You trust and you obey, and then you experience success as God defines it. If you believe what He says, you will, by faith, put His Word into practice and He blesses. I've heard it put this way, there's blessing in the doing. You do that which you know is right and God blesses you. In fact, I heard that or John 13, 15. Excuse me, 13, 17. Now that you know these things, happy are you. That's blessing. If you do them. It's in the New Testament. Now that you know these things, what Jesus was commanding, what Jesus was giving direction, there's blessing in the doing. I'm not talking about the health and wealth, prosperity gospel that you hear by the televangelists. I'm talking about putting your faith to work. And when you do that, you will be blessed by God. I don't know how. I don't know. I can't say in what way God will bless you. But I can say, you do what God asks of you to do, and you will be blessed. True prosperity is seeing God work in His time and in His way. And I think a great way of illustrating this, a great way of living this out in our lives, is the whole matter of giving. isn't that an exercise of faith? Because God says to give, and it then will be given unto you. Really? You know, okay, I'm going to give. And then I'm going to trust God for whatever return He deems appropriate. And when things get tight, that's when we're tempted not to, right? Ooh, man, things are kind of tight. You know, there's more month than money. I don't know how we're going to do this. But you know what? We have testimonies all around here of people who said, you know what, I'm going to do what I know God says about giving. And I'm going to give of the first fruits, and I'm going to trust Him for the rest. Whatever. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what He's going to do. But you know what? I'm going to give. Giving is one of the most significant measures of faith in our culture today. Because if we don't have the money, what do? We pull out the old Discover card, right? And we take care of it. But when you give, it's like, okay, I'm going to give, and I'm going to give faithfully. And as you've been hearing us say, this is a measure of faith. This is an investment in the ministry of what God is doing here through the ministry of First Baptist Church. That's by faith. And it's I'm going to give without strings attached. And I'm going to just watch God bless. God bless the ministry. God bless me personally in whatever way He deems appropriate. Just that is a measure of faith. I don't know how He will bless you, but He says He will. That's just an example here. Well, in verses 10 and following here, Joshua starts talking to the 2.5 tribes. They had their possession on the east side of the Jordan, but they were supposed to send their fighting men with the rest of the nation to go conquer and divide the land. And he says, you know, follow through with that commitment. And then he reminds the people to ready themselves. He reminds the 2.5 tribes of their responsibility. And then in verses 16 through 18, he says, they answered Joshua. Now this is now the people saying back to Joshua. Now, this is a good illustration of following leadership. And I think it has implications even in the leadership in the church. And the people said to Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Why would they do that? Because they knew that Joshua was a man of God. And that his heart was to do what God had commanded him to do. We will. All that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And here they assure Joshua of their support. Man, I tell you what, you know what would that do for a leader? Like, yeah, we're behind you. Not way behind you, but we're with you, you know, in this. And they remind Joshua to practice what he preached. He told them, be strong and courageous. They're telling him, be strong and courageous. God is with you. And here we are as a church. We face the uncertainties of life, every one of us. A new year, 2020. What's going to happen? And then as a church, we have this daunting task of reaching our community for Christ. You need to think about that. We have that responsibility to go and make disciples. And not just in this community, but the world. How do we do this? Be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so we go knowing, you know what? We can face these uncertainties because we know that God is with us. Let's not settle for the status quo. But let us, as individuals and as a church, make a difference because of God and knowing that God is with us. We have that confidence. We have that boldness. We have that strength to show the world that we have true help and hope in times of uncertainty. It's in times of uncertainty that the light of the gospel shines brightest, because we have the greatest hope. And whatever it is that you face, to know, you know what? That is an opportunity for the light of the Lord Jesus to shine brightly through you. How are we going to win this community for Christ? And there are other Bible believing, gospel preaching churches in Troy, and we just First Baptist Church isn't going to win them all, right? But we need to do what we can do and pray for the other churches that are trying to do the same thing. But how can we do that? God is with us. And as you go through your life, and as you face tomorrow, and as you face this new year, you can be a powerful testimony as to the presence of God. The true, actual presence of God that you know and you believe and realize, you know what? That makes a difference in how I face the uncertainties of this life. And that, my friend, is a powerful testimony. Because there are people out there around you, and you know them. They don't have that kind of hope. They do not have the assurance of the fact that God is with them as they face those uncertainties. And then as you have opportunity, and they might say, how do you do it? And say, you know what? Because God's with me. God is with me. He's there to help me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And then you may have opportunity to share the gospel. And how are we going to win this city for Christ? That's a great step, isn't it? And then you might say, you know, hey, why don't you come to FBC? Where God's doing great things. We're seeing people getting saved, baptized. And at the end of January, we're going to have a baptismal service. We have a few that are going to get baptized. And God's doing great things. God's changing lives. We believe that. We see that. And may, as you take God's word and put it into practice in your life, may that be evident in your life as well. Let's ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we need you. We can't do what you ask us to do in our own strength. But we can do all things that you ask us to do through Christ who gives us the strength. We can. And so help us start right with what Joshua had to start with, and the fact that you are there. You are with us. And I pray for those here today who struggle with that fact. And that's where faith is, believing that God is, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. We have to believe that you exist. And once we believe that and understand that, then we can be strong and courageous, because we then know that you are there. Help us. Father, I know that these are principles that are familiar to many, but may they be renewed in our hearts as we look ahead to a new year, to the uncertainties of the new year, but help us as we face the uncertainties of life now. And I pray, God, that it would make a difference so that this congregation, each individual here, would shine brightly as a light of faith to a world that does not have that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, how about you? Do you struggle with the issue of faith? Faith is believing what God says and living in light of what He says. If you're not certain of your salvation, we invite you to come to Jesus today. We want everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you. You can do that through YouVersion, through our website. And if you're not sure of that salvation, just put, I have questions, or I want to get saved, or I have just, and if it's personal, private, check for pastors only. Maybe just pray for me about my faith. But to many believers, you might say, I want God to help me in fill in your blank. Pray for me as I face this uncertainty. If it's personal, private, check for pastors only. But we'll be praying for you about these matters.